Today is Tuesday, May 15th, and we are opening up a public hearing on Senate Bill 5513. The chair is delayed, and since we have a lot of people that would like to testify, we're going to get started. I will call people up. If you have written testimony, if you could please hand it to, who are we handing it to? Paul. And we will only have, we have three microphones, so we'll call three people up at a time. And I see that Senator Johnson is here. And so would you like to testify, Senator?
I am, Madam Chair, with a contingent of folks. I think Representative Boone is here on the same issue, and we have a whole bunch of folks with us.
Come on up.
Can you bring Commissioner Lab right up?
Absolutely.
Before you start, just so I can repeat my announcement from yesterday. In the co-chair's budget, there was an indication there was going to be a relatively significant cut to hatchery operations. It's never been the intent of this chair to make that cut. And in discussions with the co-chairs, it's no longer their intent. So I do anticipate that that will be restored.
That concludes our testimony.
Thank you for coming, Senator.
But if that does not bar anyone from testifying on the importance of hatcheries or how they feel about a potential cut to them, I just want to put that on the record.
Mr. Chair, I think I can, for the record, Betsy Johnson, District 16, I think that we can abbreviate our testimony. I just want to publicly acknowledge how receptive the chair has been. As soon as this cut was clear, I went to visit with the chair, and I think sometimes a lot is made of the urban-rural divide. The chair represents a pretty urban district, and we received a very courteous and thoughtful welcome, an opportunity to tell our story and the significance of the hatcheries, and I just want to publicly thank the chair for his efforts to restore funding to the hatcheries.
Please proceed.
And I would double that. Deborah Boone, House District 32. Thank you.
And Mr. Chair, for the record, I'm Mark Labhart. I'm a chair of the Tillamook County Commissioners, also vice chair of the Hatchery Research Advisory Committee, which is a significant effort to look at research to improve the hatchery production around the state. I have a significant amount of history with ODFMW, being chair of the Fish Restoration Enhancement Board for a number of years, and then on the STEP Advisory Committee. Very strong supporter of hatcheries. Chair Devlin, specifically, I'd like to thank you and Senator Johnson publicly for your work behind the scenes to restore the hatcheries, particularly Trask and Salmon Hatchery. It is extremely important to the coastal economies and to Tillamook County and to Lincoln County. We very much appreciate the chair's support for this, and particularly Senator Johnson and Representative Boone for your work and making that happen. And I'll keep my testimony short also. I do have a handout for you that talks about the value of hatcheries, but thank you very much. We very much appreciate it.
Thank you all.
And Mark will take you fishing.
I didn't mention the history.
Given that we have four pages and approximately about an hour and 22 minutes in which to do those four pages, and I can see on some of our lines here where you would get normally 10 people to testify per line. Some people have signed up three people all on the same line, so there's actually a lot more people than actually that you'd have on four pages. We're going to limit testimony to 2 to 2.5 minutes, so please, when you come forward, be concise. Try not to read testimony that you've prepared. Paraphrasing it normally is quite a bit better in terms of keeping the committee's attention. And you are more than welcome, after you've given your testimony, to submit your written testimony. I will call three people at a time, and then I'll tell you who will be the next three people. So the first three people that I'll call up will be Paul Henneman, Thomas Donahue, and Ray Miller. And then on deck will be Fred Vanetta, George Houston, and John Thebes.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Paul Hammond from Cloverdale, Oregon, in the south part of Tillamook County. I had the privilege and the honor of serving in the Oregon House from 1965 to 1991, and in the 70s and 80s I served on this subcommittee, Natural Resources, for a good bit of that 20 years. I was familiar, have been familiar with the department's budget and the challenges that it's, the department has faced over the years. It's just about a one-liner to say thank you, as the senator and the house member and the commissioner just did, for your effort to retain the hatcheries and keep those open. The hatcheries have already been reprogrammed and to try to produce a better genetic base, and after all that effort, we want to make sure that they aren't closed. So thank you for your effort. We appreciate your interest, and with that, I'll conclude my remarks.
Chair, my name is Tom Donahue. I'm a resident of Pacific City. I am proud to say that I am a Pacific City Dorian. Last week, the ODFMW director testified that over $300 million in economic generated funds went into our economy from commercial fishing, also $600 million from our sport and recreational fisheries. That's a tremendous amount of money. We've invested millions of dollars in hatchery infrastructure, invested millions of dollars of lottery money for coastal watershed and stream enhancements, and it seems to me that almost for every dollar invested in our coastal hatcheries, about $50 goes back into the economy. That's good business. Our coastal economy has been under attack for decades for a lot of items, but since hatcheries are a pivotal part of our economy as for tourism as well as economic fisheries, and I just want to, like everyone else, thank you for your concern and support.
Good morning, committee members. I came here not knowing if the funding had already been restored, but
could you identify yourself for the record?
Ray Miller from Salem, Oregon. So all I have to say is I think it was a very good decision, and I'm strongly supporting of hatcheries, not only for the economic benefits but for the aesthetic benefits that it offers the citizens of Oregon plus tourism. And I congratulate you on your decision.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Next up is Fred Vanetta, George Houston, John Feeds, and then we will go to a panel of Phil Donovan, Mark Davis, and Doug Hunt.
I am Fred Vanetta, co-founder of Oregon Anglers from Salem, Oregon. Oregon Anglers was co-founded about the turn of the century, specifically to deal with the hatchery funding issue. I passed out a letter from our chairman, Tony Meeker, who also spent many years on this committee. One of the points he speaks into to there that is relevant to make is that when the sports fishermen supported the fee increase in 2003, it was with a pretty express understanding that we were supporting it to provide other funding for the hatcheries. And so we were shocked and surprised to see what happened at the co-chair level. That's relevant because there will be another fee increase 2 years from now for licenses and tags. And you may expect that the sports fishing community will have hatcheries on the top of the priority list as we consider where we are on that fee increase. There's one additional statistic I'd like to leave with you that I'm not sure I heard in any of the previous testimony, and that was that there was a federal study of the impact of sports fishing on the economy in 2001 that looked at the Oregon figures, and they estimated that sports fishermen spent $60 to $70 per day, and that's unadjusted 2001 dollars. $60 to $70 a day were spent by sports fishermen in the economy on their sports fishing activity, and so if we do anything that significantly reduces sports fishing, it's going to have a major impact on the Oregon economy. Thank you very much. That concludes my testimony.
My name is John Tebus. I'm a regional wildlife biologist with the National Wild Turkey Federation out of Medford, Oregon. Ours is a national nonprofit organization with over 545,000 members, and we work in Oregon with both private and public landowners and with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife to improve habitat on those lands and establish goodwill among those people. It is extremely important to our membership that the Wildlife Division program be maintained fully funded and whole, as well as its conservation strategy. Thank you.
Good morning. Chair Devlin, my name is George Houston. I'm the president of the Oregon chapter for the Foundation for North American Wild Sheep. I have provided written testimony. I live in Sandy, Oregon, in Clackamas County. I've been a resident of the state of Oregon for 35 years, and I hunt and I fish in the state of Oregon. The programs that the Department of Fish and Wildlife currently staffs and puts to the field are absolutely critical to recreational activities in all corners of the state of Oregon. We have watched over the last few years the resources that the department has to work with, and we're recommending that we absolutely cut nothing in the budget for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. We'd like their budget to remain whole. We'd like the license dollar side and the general fund side to become intact. We'd like the wildlife programs and the fish programs to remain whole. From a personal perspective, I can tell you that bighorn sheep, both California's and Rocky Mountain bighorns, are doing absolutely superbly in the state of Oregon, and it's largely due to the staffing and the energy that comes from Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. We'd really like to see that continue. Whenever we call and ask for help and assistance in any part of the state, they're there for us. They provide support very, very, very well. And the adage that you can do more with less is absolutely false. You can't do more with less. You obviously do less. Thank you. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you.
Mr. Donovan, Ms. Davis, and Mr. Hunt, and then on deck, and I've actually consulted two people to try to figure out how to pronounce this. Mr. Dykstra, Mr. Vandenberg, and Mr. Spellbrink on deck. Mr. Donovan, please start off.
Thank you, Chair Devlin, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Phil Donovan. I'm here on behalf of the Association of Northwest Steelheaders. I want to thank each and every one of you for the time and attention that you've taken both in this committee and also in meetings around the Capitol to understand the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife's budget. It's an agency that's on the right track with strong leadership, and we're close partners with the Department of Fish and Wildlife as an association. As a creature of the building, I am going to defer my time, though, to our president, Mark Davis, to present remarks and testimony in support of ODF&W. And with us also is Doug Hunt, our resource director.
Good morning, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. First of all, $60-$70 for an average cost. My fuel was that much. So,
can you please identify yourself for the record?
Must have been it. My name is Mark Davis, and I'm the volunteer president of the Association of Northwest Steelheaders. We have 17 chapters and 2,000 members across the state. I foreshortened this a great deal because of the changes that have happened here overnight. I just want to remind you that a huge portion of our economy is based upon the fish that are generated by the hatcheries, and that they're a supporting linchpin of that economy. If our state's motor vehicles were in the shape that our hatcheries are in, they wouldn't be allowed on the road. Last year, the Association of Northwest Steelheaders contributed over 30,000 volunteer hours in support of ODFW's plans and policies. We're very supportive of the agency's new director and where he's headed. Northwest Steelheaders are heartened by the governor's recommended budget and the $1.5 million for hatcheries and their maintenance. It's a good start. Oregon fishermen are responding in droves to the lack of fishing opportunity by not buying licenses. One of the things we would like to ask you to do is support Senate Bill 680 to bring the public back to fishing. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Doug Hunt, Chair Devlin and Subcommittee. I am Volunteer Resource Director for the Association Northwest Steelheaders. As association, our priorities are to advance sport fishing opportunity and improve salmon and steelhead habitat for future generations. Oregon has made tremendous investments in salmon recovery. We have passed Measure 66 to provide a dedicated source of revenue to fund salmon restoration projects. We have made significant management changes to curtail sport and commercial harvest. And the Northwest Steelheaders support and are helping implement reforms to our hatchery system to minimize interactions between wild and hatchery fish. I want to thank you for your decision with the hatchery program, and I want to support the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife budget as it is.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, Mr. Dysel, Vandenberg, Mr. Spellbring. And then on deck, we will have Mr. Stage, Mr. Lamport, and Rocky. Or not Rocky. Please proceed and identify yourself for the record.
Good morning, Chair Devlin, and members of the committee. For the record, Mike Dyksel, Director of Forest Protection for the Oregon Forest Industries Council here in Salem. Just want to go ahead and also be on record in supporting the agency. I'm a member of the External Budget Advisory Committee that the agency puts together to have a number of stakeholders be involved in the preparation and planning of the budget, so long before you folks get a chance to look at OPRA as well. To verify that they are working within their means, that they're insightful in the planning and anticipation of future needs. As you've heard, there's not much change going on here, but a lot of changes anticipated for the 09-11. I think that's a very strong suit that the agency shows. They encourage and provide opportunities for active participation, whether it be OFIC as the association or whether it be our individual members throughout the state on a variety of different projects in the field and data collection. They recognize and utilize the internal membership information that's derived, whether it be the aerial surveys that's done with the Department of Forestry, whether it's our internal damage surveys that we do on an annual basis looking at deer and elk damage, whether it be the utilization of our landowner closure forms that we produce for the public, as well as the agencies when fire danger gets so high and landowners choose to close their land as a prevention tool, and to attend and participate in our local committee meetings, whether it be our damage committee meetings or OFIC conventions or a number of different venues there. The other part, I learned this from an old friend that was a former deputy director of the Department of Forestry, Roy Wu, always came up with a great line that it was a certain amount of creative friction. I think as we all work with different agencies, we all have difference of opinion when we first come to any individual matter, but the time and dedication of working together creates that creative friction where you take both people's point of view and actually form something that actually meets both people's objectives. And finally, I guess I would like to echo some of the comments that Representative Burley made in the meeting yesterday on the attention to federal lands and the agency and the commissioners being a little bit more stringent on the impacts of lack of management on federal lands and what that does to the forage opportunities for the state's fish and wildlife. And that concludes my opinion.
Thank you.
Chair Devlin, committee members, my name is Chris Vandenberg. I live in Monmouth, Oregon. I'm a cattle rancher in the Coast Range Mountains and also an avid sport angler. And I'm sure that Representative Clem will agree with me as a member of the agriculture community that ODFW does not always do exactly what we wish them to do. But I think that the good things that they are doing right now are important, and I believe they need to be funded. I am actually a member of the Oregon Hatchery Research Center Advisory Committee, so I actually am putting my money where my mouth and my money is, I guess. And I really would encourage you to fully fund the ODFW budget this year. I understand that budgets are tight, but I ask you, when are budgets not tight? And I also encourage you to remember that when people think about Oregon from around the country, they're not thinking of big cities. They're mostly thinking of wide open spaces full of wildlife. And I think by fully funding the Fish and Wildlife budget, you can help continue that belief. Thank you.
Thank you. Chair Devlin, committee members, my name is Bob Spelbrink. I'm from Seletz, Oregon. I'm a commercial Dungeness crab fisherman, and I'm also a river fishing guide. And I'm here today to support the funding request for Department of Fish and Wildlife, and specifically its Marine Resources Program. In the past few years, from my involvement in issues regarding the crab fishery and the salmon fishery, I've gained the utmost respect for the department, our commission, and especially our Marine Resources Program. I also know from personal observations that our Marine Resource Program is understaffed. Presently, whenever a specific marine resource issue requires extra time and effort, which of course is all the time, other important issues get put on the back burner. They just don't have enough people to deal with it. I also believe our experience shows us that the more we can keep management of our marine resources in our state's hands, the better off we Oregonians will be. Management from just the federal level, which has happened all too much, with minimal state input, it's rarely failed to disappoint us. So anyway, I'm just putting my plug in for the Marine Resources Program today. It's really a valuable program, and they do a great job. That's end my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Stage, Mr. looks like Mark Lamport, and John Brackey. And then next up will be Bruce Taylor, Paul Rainey, and Cheryl Coon. So Mr. Lamport has already testified, so why don't you two just go ahead.
Oh, Chairman Devlin and a nice group we have here this morning. I want to thank you for what you've done in funding the hatcheries. There are still notable areas in some of the depleting fish runs on the Salmon River. I am president of the Salmon River Keepers Corporation or organization, but there are areas that some of the fish have been deleted from the Salmon River to other areas, in which it's an ongoing fight between ODFW and other fishing organizations to try to reestablish the fish runs to that area. But I do want to thank you and the chairpersons for funding the hatchery. We are in full support of them, and they are in full support of us. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
My name is John Brackey. I am a Tillamook County resident and a taxpayer of Oregon. We've addressed this hatchery issue time and time again, and everybody just keeps on throwing more money into it. And instead of addressing the problems that they have with their hatcheries at this point in time, it looks like now we're going to wait another 2 years to decide the fate of these hatcheries again with the fee increase. And as a sportsman, as an angler, and a guide, I feel that we need to take some responsibility in the future for what these hatcheries are doing to our wild fish and the impacts that they are creating on not only the river itself, but the people that own the river. I own a very large chunk of property on the Nestucca River that, in my point of view, has been degraded by this hatchery product that everybody so loves. Do I support hatcheries? I do support hatcheries in a responsible fashion. Is what's occurring on the coast a responsible measure of hatchery production? Absolutely not. You are wiping out wild fish for the sake of a hatchery stock that is not benefiting everybody. It's benefiting the select few people out there, and until we realize this, we're going to continue at the same pace again in another 2 years, probably in front of the same group, and we're going to be dealing with this issue on the money aspect, and we will be asking the angler to foot this bill again. And we don't need to do this every time. I mean, this needs to be addressed. You know, passing the buck has nothing to do with fixing problems.
Mr. Brockie, in our discussions at this committee, I've been a ways and means person for some time in this building, and I have kind of a different philosophy from some members of Ways and Means. I believe I was put here to try to implement the policies of the body. That doesn't mean that as a Ways and Means member you don't end up actually affecting policy, because there's always so many requirements on the books and so much in dollars to be able to fulfill those requirements. So many times you have to pick and choose what you fund. But an overt change in policy on hatcheries probably doesn't, that discussion probably doesn't involve, wouldn't take place in a Ways and Means committee. It would take place in a policy committee, like Representative Dingfelter's committee or Senator Vakin's committee. I just allocate dollars.
Thank you,
sir. Mr. Taylor, Mr. Rainey, and Ms. Coon. And then up next will be Trey Cascadon, Roy Rolletter, and Chuck Woolsey.
Thank you, Chair Devlin. My name is Bruce Taylor. I'm here today for Defenders of Wildlife, as usual, but I'm also here today for Ducks Unlimited. And I'm also representing a broader coalition of groups and agencies in a larger group that I work for called the Oregon Habitat Joint Venture that includes more than two dozen agencies and organizations involved in voluntary cooperative efforts focusing on habitat conservation. And that includes most of the federal and state agencies involved in land management and resource management, a number of local governments, several tribes, and a wide range of non-government organizations ranging from large land trusts like the Nature Conservancy and Trust for Public Land to all the local land trusts and groups like Defenders of Wildlife and Ducks Unlimited. And we are all in agreement in support of the department's budget, which basically will keep the department whole. And very much in support of that there. But I'm also here today to ask you to consider an additional allocation, and the number I was asked for is $2 million for implementation of the Oregon Conservation Strategy. That's the statewide comprehensive wildlife conservation strategy that the department produced in late 2005. First time we've ever had that real big picture view of wildlife habitat conservation needs in Oregon, not looking just down the usual tubes that of salmon, steelhead, deer, elk, things like that, but trying to look at things on a broad scale there. It's really a landmark in, for the department, and really the blueprint for, I think a lot of people hope there will be the blueprint for the future of the department. As I say, strong support for that across the spectrum, the commission, department's leadership, and among the partners out there that work with the Department of Fish and Wildlife. But the real issue is that there are no dollars for them to implement that. As you well know from perusing their budget, the department is pretty much a prisoner of license fees and dedicated federal revenues. They cannot just redirect those to go off and do something new. So what we would ask you to consider is some startup funding for this new program that I hope in the next biennium, 2009, we can start talking on a larger scale and perhaps some different funding sources for the department. The department has identified some initial priorities for startup kind of things that are important on a broader scale, like trying to restore our state bird, the western meadowlark's population. It's quite common in eastern Oregon. Many of you could wake up in eastern Oregon and hear it every morning in the summertime, but for kids in western Oregon, when I grew up, you could hear them all the time, but you'd be hard-pressed to find a western meadowlark, certainly in the Willamette Valley these days. Things like that, and oak habitats, sagebrush and sagebrush habitats in eastern Oregon. So the department does have some good things that we can get started on there. There are a whole lot of partners ready to work with the department, and I know that we can leverage whatever kind of money that you can come up with in a number of ways, and most immediately with federal funds that will match one-to-one, but beyond that, through partnerships, I'm sure we can turn that over several more times. recognizing that there are some serious budget constraints this year, we'd be happy to get any money you can give us, but understanding that the number of new revenue forecast is $182 million up or something like that, we'd be happy with $2 million. We'd do another $180 to parcel out to all those other deserving things. Thank you very much.
Please proceed. Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Paul Rainey. Today I'm here testifying on behalf of the small businesses of the Oregon Guides and Packers Association. Our association represents nearly 150 professional outdoor recreational service providers here in Oregon. Our guides and outfitters have the privilege of sharing Oregon's awe-inspiring natural surroundings with outdoor enthusiasts throughout the world. Real quickly, I'd like to highlight two programs within the Department of Fish and Wildlife of significance to Oregon's guides and outfitters. One you've heard a lot about, the hatcheries. The other isn't one that's been mentioned today, the Outfitter Guide Tag Program. The Outfitter Guide Tag Program was established legislatively in 1997 at our request. The program was designed to bring stability to small outfitting and guiding services by assuring a number of specialized tags for Oregon's outfitters. This essentially sets aside a small percentage of tags that are vital to the small businesses throughout Oregon. Specifically, this helps create the stability we need to market hunts on a national basis and bring in tourist dollars that our businesses here in Oregon depend on. This interim, ODF&W was extremely responsive to concerns shared by Oregon's outfitters that outfitter tags are in short supply. As a result, we worked closely with them in the interim through the administrative rule process to make changes to this program and enhance the flexibility within the existing program. As a result, we greatly appreciate their willingness to work with us to resolve this and improve an existing program through the administrative rule process. I wanted to share that with you real quickly. And finally, Oregon's hatcheries. As you can imagine, stability is also important to our fishing guides. Oregon's hatcheries are an invaluable tool to maintain healthy fish populations. The ripple effect sport fishing has in local communities is a tremendous asset to our economy, especially in rural areas. This session, you have the ability to maintain a long-standing commitment to this valuable resource, and we thank you for supporting Oregon hatcheries. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Cheryl Kuhn. I'm the Conservation Programs Manager for the Portland Audubon Society. We have 10,000 members statewide, plus the members represented by our additional 11 chapters in the state of Oregon. And we are among the people, but not the only ones that you are thinking of when you read polls that say that Oregonians love their outdoors, they support their wildlife habitat, and they support wildlife viewing as among the recreational activities they enjoy. I'm here to speak on behalf of ODFW's budget. I want to highlight two programs to you. You've heard from Bruce Taylor, and I want to support his remarks about the Oregon conservation strategy. You might be very pleased to know that what Oregon accomplished in that is renowned nationwide for its visionary approach to seeing our landscapes and to looking at what our key species are and our key habitats and forging a big picture about how citizens can join together with agencies and with academics and with people from all over to help restore and conserve these habitats and these species. It does take money, but the amazing thing about the money is that it is leveraged many times over by partnerships such as with Portland Audubon or the members of Joint Venture, where we might provide as many as 10,000 people hours in volunteer time to work on restoration of an oak savanna area, for example, work on somewhere at the coast looking for marbled murrelet, or doing other important things that help contribute to the state and its resources. So I want to highlight that. Hope you'll support it. The other program I want to speak specifically on behalf of is the Marine Resources Program. Oregon stands at the threshold of a huge opportunity with regard to marine protection and planning. You probably are aware that we're behind our neighbors to the north and south, California and Washington, in doing that. The time has come, but to do it, we need to understand what's in our marine nearshore, and that's the work that Patty Burke and the good folks in the marine region do. They really are understaffed to do it, and we really do need that work to be done so that we can make sure that the way we proceed is as sensitive as possible to coastal businesses, to fishermen, to communities, in looking at how we can keep this great treasure. So I appreciate your attention to ODFW's budget and stand in support of it. Thank you so much.
Thank you all. Thank you. Looks like Trey Parks can come, Joe Rolander, and Chuck Woolsey. And then on deck will be Don Poole, Joe Moll, and Stan Steele. Please proceed.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, thank you for your time today. My name is Trey Karstad, I live in Tualatin, and I represent the Northwest Sport Fishing Industry Association. The Northwest Sport Fishing Industry Association represents more than 300 businesses, large and small, across the region. These include sporting goods, tackle shops, tackle manufacturers, boat dealers, guides, boat manufacturers, other associations, sporting goods distributors, and a variety of other businesses. And even though our businesses are quite different, they all have one thing in common. They all need a fully functioning Fish and Wildlife Agency. This is an agency that, for all intents and purposes, is a skeleton of its former self. Because its operating budget has been whittled away for more than a decade, it's becoming increasingly difficult for this department to fulfill its mission. Trust me, not only does the agency and our state's resources pay the price for a disabled Fish and Wildlife Agency, but our industry also pays dearly, too. I hope today signals a new day, a new beginning for the ODFW. That is, we'll work together to grow the agency and its mission. With that growth, we'll all enjoy the benefits that tourism and robust fish and wildlife resources bring to the state. As an aside, 70% of the boats sold in Oregon are used primarily for fishing. Boating in Oregon, based on 1996 Sea Grant study, is a $1 billion-a-year industry. When fishing opportunities slide, so do boat sales, and with it, more than 25,000 jobs associated with the state's boating industry. Oregon's boating industry depends on the ODFW's ability to produce meaningful fishing opportunity. As you know, this agency is largely funded through stakeholder dollars, what you may not be aware of is the attrition that's occurred just over the last few years in these ranks. Attrition, I believe, is the result of budgetary constraints, which has in turn affected the ability of the agency to do its job. I can tell you that today, this is an agency that's committed to its stakeholders and to its mission. I've been working with the agency in the cooperation through the cooperation of the Oregon State Marine Board to secure federal funding for outreach designed to grow this agency's revenue base, and we're making headway. You may also be aware of the fact that under the leadership of Director Moore, ODFW is working to understand the economic benefits associated with sport fishing, a long overdue analysis that I'm sure will be in excess of $1 billion a year. I understand you have difficult decisions to make today in the weeks ahead, but fishing, hunting, and wildlife watching are not just hobbies, they're industries that are employing tens of thousands of Oregonians. The benefits are spilling to every county of this state. At the hub is the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, which I hope we can find the much-needed financial support it needs to flourish. I think you'll find it's an investment that's good for Oregon, and I very much appreciate your service to the state. Thanks.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Joe Rolander. I get my mail in Walport, Oregon. I'm not there very much, but that is where I live. I'm here today as a citizen who's worked with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife for a very, very long time. As Phil Donovan said, the department is on the right track. It has excellent leadership, and I think it's very important to keep the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife's budget whole. I'd like to talk to you a little bit today about some of those less-known programs. Everybody knows about fish bios and wildlife bios and hatcheries. The You've already heard about the Oregon Wildlife Conservation Plan. I think that's a really, really an important plan. It'll help us get information and make sure there's habitat available for the turtles and the salamanders and the frogs and all those other little critters. You've also heard about the Marine Program's Nearshore Plan. That program hopes to find scientific information and help us make sure that habitat is available for all those things that live in the nearshore environment out in the ocean. Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife provides technical support for our watershed council. It's really important. John Spangler from ODFW in Newport shows up for every one of our meetings there at night. He shows up for our field trips on the weekends, and we really appreciate his help. ODFW now has an invasive species coordinator, and I think invasive species are one of the things that's we're going to face a very big challenge in the future in Oregon. It's amazing the number of invasive species that are coming up on the radar screen that move into habitats and push out the native species. Another program that I've been working with is a USDA Wildlife Services Program. It's partly funded through the ODFW budget. My local watershed council will be using this federal program to obtain federal funds from the U.S. Forest Service to control nutria, which are an invasive species, in the lower Alsea watershed in our new saltwater marsh restoration areas. OSP Game Division is not just about fish and wildlife enforcement, it's also about habitat and clean water protection. The OWEB-funded OSP position in Newport was recently responsible for investigation into an illegal fill and removal, which resulted in a $30,000 contribution to the Watershed Council by the violator. So those are all great projects. People don't know about them very much, but there's something like 1,400 people that work for ODFW, and they do a lot of extra work for our citizens and for our fish and our wildlife. Thank you very much.
Chairman Devlin and members of the committee, I'm Chuck Woosley from Corvallis, Oregon. Today I'm representing the Oregon Division of the Isaac Walton League of America. This is a national organization founded in 1922. It has about 10 chapters and 500 members here in Oregon. Anyway, the Isaac Walton League fully supports the full funding from Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. So we request that you keep their budget whole. Members of the league volunteer for the department. We associate with the department and observe their needs. And some of the things we observe is that they have a very dedicated professional staff that is spread very thin. We would not like to see that staff spread any thinner. They have very many good programs going, and one program you probably don't hear very much about is the Green Forage Program. The Green Forage Program is to help to alleviate damage done by big game on private property. And I personally have recently observed some of this, and I can tell you of others. About 6 weeks ago, my wife and I was doing some radio telemetry work on the elk down east of Silvertooth Lake. On one marginal ranch, there were 68 elk out grazing on that rancher's limited amount of forage. I had an opportunity to visit with State Senator Frank Morris about that, and Senator Morris had recently seen more elk than that on the pasture down by Goose Bay. A few years back, I was visiting with former Fish and Wildlife Commissioner Bob Jacobson, and Jake was telling me that that is very frequently throughout the Coast Range, and to me, those marginal farms, the owners need all the help that they can get due to the depredation of these public animals. I've been closely following the department since 1958, and in recent years it appears to me that when budget crunch comes, this Green Forage Program is one of the first ones to get cut. Therefore, I sincerely ask that we fully fund the department so as to prevent that cutting of it. Anyway, the Isaac Walton Wagon Division fully supports the full funding for not only Department of Fish and Wildlife, but also the Oregon State Police Game Law Enforcement. We realize their budget isn't before your subcommittee, but eventually you will be working with that budget on the full committee. I thank you.
Thank you.
Don Poole, Joe Mall, and Stan Steele, and Mr. Marquis was going to testify, but he graciously indicated he's done enough work behind the scenes. Please proceed.
Chairman and committee members, my name is Don Poole. I live in Salem. I moved to Oregon from Alaska because I heard Oregon is where the deer and the antelope play. Imagine not moving from Alaska for the game resources here. I've served on the External Budget Advisory Committee for the last two bienniums. I've seen the struggles the department goes through to maintain its current levels of service as it tries to balance the wildlife resource and still allow for hunters and fishermen to provide for their families. Hunting and fishing allows a healthy way to harvest those resources in Oregon for which nature has provided us. Hunting and fishing provides a natural and healthy form of recreation. Hunting and fishing also provides for our youngsters a legacy of respect and appreciation for wildlife and fish. This alone should be recognized as a form of education that is so lacking in our education system today. I strongly encourage you to maintain or enhance the current funding levels for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. Hunters pay for management of wildlife resources here. There are approximately 1 million outdoorsmen in Oregon. Hunters, fishermen, trappers. They pay their own way because it is important to them and their families. Oregon needs to provide more wildlife management and more enforcement of our hunting and fishing regulations. Oregon needs to manage for more elk and deer and needs to balance its wildlife populations. Oregon needs to manage cougar populations, and hunters, again, are willing to pay the price to do it. Hunters, after all, are part of that natural balance of nature and have been forever. I have canine teeth, do you? I strongly urge you to maintain or to enhance the current funding levels for the Department of Fish and Wildlife. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Joe Mall, I'm the executive director of the Mackenzie River Trust. We're a land conservation group based in Eugene. We protect land. We work with private landowners to protect and enhance lands for fish and wildlife habitat, water quality, and other natural area values. I fully support the budget and potential enhancement as suggested by Bruce Taylor, and I have three things that I'd like you to consider why I support that. First, certainly it's been mentioned that the conservation strategy, one recognized across the nation, this provides an opportunity not only for ODFW, but for all of the state natural resource agencies to really coordinate things, not just looking at fish and wildlife populations, but real approaches to land management that serve everybody, all of us, and all landowners. This is consistent with things that the legislature did in the last session, such as the establishment of a community forest authority. It gives more flexibility as times change and pressures on land use affect us all. Secondly, I know that there is some concern about the use of federal funds and the limitation on what those funds can and might not be able to do in the state. I would encourage all of us to take a risk if we consider it to be a risk, because the funds that are available from federal sources give us a lot of flexibility when we're working with landowners. Landowners look to us for trust, and they look for us to be responsive, having dollars at the ready when a landowner is ready to negotiate and work with a group to protect those land values. Really makes a difference, and those federal funds can make a huge difference in that timing and flexibility. And finally, these, again, not simply limited to fish and wildlife populations. These are good community investments. I moved here just 2 years ago from Montana. Montana has seen a wave of development similar to what's occurring in Oregon, but without some of the complications of zoning and things. One of the things that you see is a number of rural landscapes, particularly ranchers, forest owners, good land managers who have been good stewards of their lands for centuries, finally getting recognition in terms of financial compensation for that and encouragement to stay. These are investments, again, not just in tourism or recreation opportunities, but they're investments in good clean water, in open space, in productive natural areas. And again, the funding for these private programs that allows us to work with ODFW and other partners to work with the private landowners make a huge difference. So I fully support the budget and also Bruce Taylor's suggestion that the comprehensive plan, the conservation strategy, also get initial startup funding. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman and members, I'm Stan Steele from Corvallis, Oregon. I'm on the board of directors of the McKenzie River Guides Association, the Common Waters of Oregon, which is a river access support group, Corvallis Tourism, and the Coastal Conservation Association, which is a new group that has came to the Northwest in the last several months regarding issues just like what we're facing here today, underfunding of management agencies. It's interesting to hear a lot of the comments from other speakers here this morning. Some of them interested in wild fish programs, some of them interested in meadowlarks. We know anything from oversized sturgeon on the Columbia to red-band trout at Steens Mountain to half-pound steelhead on Rogue River. That's all encompassing ODFW's programs have to be. Sometimes green forage, as Chuck mentioned, is often an oversight and can be eliminated through underfunding of a total budget process. I spent 25 years as an Oregon State Police Fish and Wildlife Enforcement Officer in Corvallis working the Coast Range, basically LC, SLETs, and then the Santa Am systems. And in those 25 years, we interacted daily with sometimes hundreds and sometimes just one individual landowner or participant in Oregon's outdoor recreational pursuits, sometimes on the illegal end of it. So the interesting thing that we were able to develop, though, was a really deep and keen interest in preserving and conservation of our natural resources. ODFW is our main lead agency in the state. Can't underwrite that or underscore it or emphasize it enough. The conservation development plan for meadowlarks, for all the fish that are really underthought of when we think of resource management. We do just count deer and elk. We're worried about the cougar populations. Worried about, you know, there again, green forage. But these other species have a major, major impact on our quality of life. So a full funding of this agency's budget, not just a partial restoration for a few hatchery programs because we had the political uproar and all of a sudden it brought it to your attention. So that's extremely important, but there's 500,000 anglers alone in Oregon. In hunting, fishing, and viewing, there's $2.1 billion spent annually in the state of Oregon. That's more than Oregon wines are bringing to you. In other words, we really need to understand how important this whole budgetary process is to the citizens of Oregon, to our quality of life, and maintain full funding. Real quickly, coming from the OSP, from an agency that, you know, my life was fish and wildlife. I've been in a lifelong outdoorsman. When I came to Corvallis, there was 23 Oregon State Police officers stationed in Corvallis, Oregon. The office is now closed. They transferred us to Albany. At Albany, there were 35. Now office is down to 7. There were 7 Fish and Wildlife Enforcement officers in the Mid-Valley. It's down to 2. Now, that's in the last 25 years. I've been gone 8. Are we doing a better job with our dollars now in enforcement and resource management? We're spreading them thinner. That's not necessarily a better job. Thank you.
Next up will be Thomas Brogan, John, I believe it's Ferry, and Frank Warren. Then on deck will be Les Helgeson, Bill Bakke, and Bob Rees.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Frank Warrens. I'm a business owner in Portland. I'm a retired charter boat captain. I also am a member of the Pacific Fishery Management Council, one of the three Oregon members on that council. In addition to that, I also am a member of the Ocean Policy Advisory Council for Governor Kulongoski. I'm well familiar with the workings and the personnel at Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. And as a PFMC member, 5 times a year, I have the opportunity to sit and observe the workings, the staff of California, Washington, Idaho, and occasionally members from Alaska. I have to tell you that you really need to be proud of the hard work and the dedication of the members of Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. And while I observe primarily the people from fisheries and the marine program, they do outstanding work with a very short budget. And I'm here today to ask for your request from you, their full budget request, in order that they can keep up the work that they do. One of the programs that is they've undertaken here in the last couple of years is a near shore management plan. And as a member of OPAC, you heard Cheryl Kuhn say today that Oregon is perceived to be a little behind California and Washington with regard to the protection of marine resources. I don't believe that's true. I think we've done an excellent job of taking care of our marine resources, at least from my personal observation. But I do think that it's important that particularly the near shore management plan moves ahead with all due haste, and as chair of the Marine Reserves Working Group for OPAC, this is a very timely issue that where we need a lot of information that isn't currently available with regard to our near shore marine resources. So with that, Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I would respectfully ask or request that you provide full funding for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife so that they continue the fine work that they do. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll try Mr. Brogan and Mr. Perry again, if they're not here. Then we'll have up Mr. Helgeson, Mr. Fockey, and Mr. Rees. That would be Bob Rees.
Yes.
Please proceed, Mr. Bob.
Senator Devlin and committee members, my name is Bill Bakke. I represent the Native Fish Society. Since I think Barbara Roberts was in office and Measure 5 hit the state of Oregon, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife budget has been a declining problem. And the Department of Fish and Wildlife affects the quality of life in every community all around the state with regard to their program for protection of fish and wildlife habitat, fish and wildlife populations, and the good management programs that they provide. I came here also to say that I'm really concerned about the enforcement program and that it's losing capacity. It has lost capacity. We need to improve the fish and wildlife enforcement program. And I know actually last year I was checked for my license, first time in 10 years. I thanked the officer. It was good to see him on the river. And it's very important for me to accomplish my goals is in fish conservation to make sure we have a strong enforcement program. Now, on the other hand, the members of the committee also serve on and vote on policy matters. And the question of hatcheries is certainly an important one that I want to bring to your attention. First of all, hatcheries have been identified as contributing to the decline of native wild populations, most of which, in terms of salmon, steelhead, and some trout populations, are listed under the Endangered Species Act. This is the conclusion of peer-reviewed research. It's the conclusion of the National Marine Fisheries Service. It's the conclusion of the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife biologists. It's not a light matter to be dismissed. It needs to be seriously considered. I asked Hans Rocky, Dr. Hans Rocky, to send you a letter, Senator Devlin, and about the issue of economic benefit. It was shocking to me to find out, but it's also been true for the Columbia River hatcheries as well, that the cost of producing fish for harvest that is harvested far exceeds the benefit in terms of dollars to the community. He's looking at over $400 per fish, about $70 in benefit. Now, those are important fish, but you also have to take into consideration the economic problems associated with that kind of a management program, especially when the management program also is causing problems for native wild production of salmonids that we're trying to protect and recover. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You tell me something. Chair Devlin, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Les Helgeson. I'm a policy coordinator for the Native Fish Society, also a Nestucca River steward. And based on my conversations with you, and especially some committee staff, who's been very helpful, there appears to be some confusion concerning just how the perceived notion of hatchery closures has come to be. It seems to have happened every session I can remember now. It would appear that a reasonable alternative might be to consolidate or reduce certain hatchery programs that are known to be particularly wasteful or harmful to our wild fish populations. Again, that was the case in 1993. An example on my home river, the Nestucca, was the Fall Chinook program. It was costing a tremendous amount of money. And some of the very same folks who've been here talking to you today claimed the sky would fall and the world was going to end and all this. In fact, our troubled fall Chinook fishery at the time has rebounded tremendously. It's a wild fish fishery. Doesn't need that money pumped into it every year. Bill addressed Dr. Radke's analysis. I think that's pertinent to that point I just made. I just like to see as many of these flawed hatchery programs as possible replaced with management strategies that are designed to foster recovery and sustainability of native fish. Such a scenario could augment existing opportunities, such as those provided on the Deschutes and North Umpqua. Again, on the Deschutes, the trout stocking was terminated to the same predictions of gloom and doom, and just the reverse happened. In fact, they have become overly crowded due to the popular demand for a quality angling experience. And opportunities for providing additional quality angling opportunities certainly do exist along the Oregon coast, so maybe it's time we seriously consider doing so. Certainly would be more cost effective. The alternative is to continue the status quo, and I think at the root cause of the associated decline in angler and hunting participation as well. We need new direction, and I would like to say we're very supportive of Director Moore, and maybe we're on the right track there. Thank you. Thank you, Bill.
I'll try Mr. Rees again. He's in the audience. Don't see him. Mr. Buell, Shane Stewart, and Andrea Weber. Please proceed.
Good morning, Senator Devlin, Vice Chair Kenfield, and committee members. My name is James Buell. I'm a member of the Oregon Fish Breeding Task Force, the at-large member, the one at-large member, past chair. I'm a fish biologist. I have a PhD from the University of Oregon in fish physiology.
I have a consulting business, and I've been a consultant for over 30 years, and during that time, that entire time, I've had a close personal and professional relationship with ODF&W. Unless you're dumb as a post, you don't have, if you have a relationship for that long with an entity, you don't do that without learning a little bit about it. Some people think that ODF&W is a collection of Ranger Rick types with neat green shirts and fun or shoulder patches. This, of course, is not true. The ODF&W is an entity with multiple personalities, a coat of many colors, you might say. Protection and enhancement of fish and wildlife resources, management of those resources, research, very important. Regulation activities aimed at both things that directly impact and indirectly impact fish and wildlife resources. The agency is full of dedicated professionals, and they take their responsibilities very seriously. As a consultant with a diversity of clients over the years, I haven't seen eye to eye with the department on all matters, but it's always been the details that we have diverged on. The central goal has always been something in common to preserve, protect, and enhance fish and wildlife resources for the state of Oregon and Oregonians for their enjoyment and appreciation. Fish and wildlife resources are part of the core of what it means to be an Oregonian. They're part of what makes this state special and what makes Oregonians special. But it takes more than an organization with bright, dedicated people. It's really a partnership. For the last 8 years, I've been privileged to be on the Oregon Fish Screening Task Force, almost 8 years. This is an appointed position. It's voluntary. There's no compensation. We provide guidance and assist to the department and assist in program implementation. I've had an opportunity to observe directly the dedication and professionalism and stewardship of the department staff at close range. This is a special arena. It brings interests that in some sense are natural adversaries: agriculture, fish and wildlife, M&I, municipal and industrial water users, irrigation districts, and so forth. Brings these people together, and we work cooperatively to achieve important goals. This program is working, as a lot of other programs are working within the department. The differences between agriculture and M&I users are being bridged, and fish and wildlife interests are being bridged, and things are getting done. This is just one example. There are many other cooperative programs that the department engages in. The department is not just an amorphous green box. It's people and programs organized to accomplish specific and important benefits for all Oregonians. It can only work, though, if you live up to your responsibilities and give it the support and breathing room it needs to accomplish these important goals. I've been happy to spend a little of my time over the last 8 years and energy and even money in this role in the Fish Screening Task Force, and I'll continue to do it until the end of my term. The coat of many colors isn't free. I encourage you to do your part and give the department all of the support that it desperately needs to continue these programs. Thank you. If you have any questions, I'd answer them. Otherwise, that completes my statement.
Please proceed.
Thank you.
Good morning. I appreciate being here today to speak to you. My name is Shane Stewart, and I serve as conservation chairman for Washington County Fly Fishers. I'm also a member of Native Fish Society and Trout Unlimited. I've been on both sides of this fence and on this very issue, but after taking the time to look beyond the emotions involved, I believe that now I'm on the right side. I was at one time in favor of hatcheries and specifically the wild steelhead broodstock programs, but I decided for the sake of the wild fish to investigate these hatcheries and their processes and especially their costs. Needless to say, I was disappointed. So one would have to wonder why these facilities and their product, which is a hatchery fish, which cost all Oregonians so much money with such little in return, as referenced in Dr. Radke's statement, are allowed to continue as they presently are. We visit this every couple of years. We'll be back here, like Mr. Bracke said, in a couple more years. There are indeed plenty of quality fisheries on the North Coast that do not involve huge cost with little in return. Isn't it about time to investigate a better use of this money without involving obsolete hatcheries? Do Oregonians need to finance someone's pet project at the expense of every taxpayer in the state? And isn't it about time to see our money spent in useful ways that would benefit all and not just a few? The bottom line is hatchery plants did not have proven to be harmful to wild cimodid populations. This isn't a theory, it's fact. It's been proven time and time again. With that being true, isn't it time to finally realize that not only are these hatcheries unnecessary, but they are indeed harmful to wild fish in the affected rivers and too costly to Oregon taxpayers? Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Andrea Weber. I am of Portland, Oregon. I feel it's important to continue the committee's agenda with keeping the ODFW budget as it is, perhaps with more emphasis on the law enforcement rather than for hatchery production. You've already heard from Mr. Botke and previously about Dr. Radke's study. And with that and the cost of the production exceeding the benefit, coupled with other studies indicating the impact hatchery fisheries have on native and wild fish in our local populations, I think that we should keep the money going where it is in hopes to help our native and wild fish. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Carlene McCabe, Terry Witt, and Nan Evans.
Thank you very much.
Good morning. My name is Carlene McCabe, and I'm the executive director with the Greenbelt Land Trust based out of Corvallis. We work with landowners in a five-county region in the Mid-Willamette Valley who typically will call us and request assistance to carry out some type of conservation activities on their property. We've been in existence for 20 years, and during that time have worked with a number of landowners, agencies, and various partners. What we are seeing in the last couple of years is an increasing trend for assistance of this type, and the work of ODFW is critical to the success we have with these landowners. The programs that ODFW administers have been absolutely critical for the landowners we have worked with over the last couple of years. Examples of those are a working ranch in Denton County that the landowners called us wanting to find a way to protect both the ranch and also the critical habitat resources on the property. We've also worked with a farmer along the Lucky Mute River who has a working farm, and he wanted to find a way to protect the steelhead resources along the Lucky Mute River and a tributary on his property. We utilize some of the programs that ODFW administers to help that landowner, and we're very successful in completing an easement on his property. And we are also working on another property near Philomath that serves as an outdoor classroom for students from Philomath High School, and they are helping us in the restoration of that property. All of those programs and those projects would not have occurred without the assistance of ODFW. And in some cases, and in all three of those cases, we utilized federal funds that were administered by the department to carry out those projects. So we are here to offer our support for adoption of the budget in full. We also would like to offer support for the $2 million that has been requested to help start implementing the Oregon Conservation Strategy. That strategy is critical for us when we work with landowners, because one of the things they always ask us is what I'm doing going to make a difference in the state, or is this just a project that, you know, will have some impact here on my property but not necessarily translate to other things. So they have asked us for copies of that plan to look at, because they want to understand how what they're doing contributes to statewide goals. So we're here to offer our support for their budget, and also in particular to note the issue that when they do receive federal funding, those funds are critical for the projects that we carry out. And as Joe Moll indicated earlier, in many cases our landowners are looking at various options to help them carry out these projects. And in Oregon, those federal funds are a critical source for providing options to those landowners. The way we work is people come to us, they tell us what their goals are, and then we try to work with them to figure out how to make those goals happen. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Mr. Witt.
Thank you, Chair Devlin. My name is Terry Witt, Executive Director of Oregonians for Food and Shelter. I'll be very brief. I think that we would be remiss if we didn't stop one second and acknowledge the fact that about 10 years ago, Fish and Wildlife was really an uncooperative, untrusted regulatory agency, and thanks to the direction of our former director, Lindsey Ball, and his deputy director, Roy Ellicker, and now under the direction of Virgil Moore, the agency has done, I think, almost a 180-degree turnaround and is now a very cooperative agency that works with landowners rather than against landowners. That being said, I think one of the interesting things that many need to recognize, particularly those in the urban environment, is that Fish and Wildlife is not just about elk and deer and salmonids. It's much more than that. The urban citizens have a lot to be thankful for with various programs that Fish and Wildlife administer and oversee. Just a few, for example. They do deal with predator control and nuisance animal trapping in the cities. These are programs that are very important to citizens within city limits as well as farm and forest communities. They also get involved with vector control districts across the state, approving their pesticide plans on an annual basis. And thanks to Senator Vakian, I did look up, many people said, well, what's a vector control? He asked me to look it up. It comes from the Latin root meaning to carry or carrier. So it's basically any organism that carries or transmits disease. So
actually, Mr. Witt, I asked you to look it up, and I asked the agency to look it up, and you beat him. I haven't even heard from the agency yet.
Thank you, Senator. So
no
anyone that could be impacted by a disease-carrying vertebrate or invertebrate has a lot to thank the ODF for. And last but not least, when we deal with things like the coastal coho enhancement plan to keep threatened and endangered species healthy, or I should say keep them from being listed, that impacts everyone, anyone that uses water or is concerned about water quality, because when these species are listed, it basically puts controls in place on private landowners, not just forestry and agriculture, but also urban and metropolitan areas, and those cost money. So we just fully support the ODF&W budget and would ask that you continue to, if possible, enhance this great agency. Thank you very much. Ms. Evans.
Thank you, Chair Devlin and members of the committee. My name is Nan Evans. I'm the Director of Government Relations for the Nature Conservancy in Oregon. I will add our voice to the many you have already heard today, and I will try to make my comments brief. We certainly are strong supporters of the department and strong supporters of a healthy budget for the department. Let me hone in a little bit and tell you about the privilege that we had last year in 2006 to choose the department as the recipient of our Community Partnership Award for Conservation Leadership. This came out of a long history of working with the department on specific projects from restoring habitat in Little Fork of the John Day to working on management issues around things like bull trout to reintroducing native species like the native oyster in the Neatarts Bay. But most specifically was meant to highlight the contributions of the department in developing the conservation strategy and the near shore strategy that you've already heard about today. These are wonderful action plans. They give every Oregonian clear indication of priority needs for conservation and what they can do about it. And what I would like to ask you today is to echo some of the earlier comments that you provide state funding that can act to match the federal funding to implement that plan. A plan is just a plan until we have some capability to implement it. The federal grants require a one-to-one state match, and what we're asking you for is that $2 million that Ms. Taylor mentioned to provide that match. That's one opportunity for important leverage, but I want to also point out to you that there's another opportunity for important leverage. This plan that the department created has been recognized nationally not only by their departmental peers in the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, but also by a number of nonprofit agencies and the foundation community. The notion is that these plans provide specific guidance, and it's the only way we can, as a country, really judge what we're doing and know the direction we need to go in. So there's private funding that's available to help these implement these plans, but it requires state and federal match, and that's what my plea to you is to provide enough state funding that would trigger that ability to leverage. And then the second point I would like to ask you to do, and I know you've been discussing it in the community for some number of days now, is for decades, the department's budget has been in trouble. And we've seen it in crisis at times. We have seen revenue from license tags go up and down. And what I would like you to do is to clearly ask the department to work with a broad range of partners over the next upcoming biennium to explore, investigate, and find ways to fund the really critical work the department does. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up will be Tom Wolf, Al Elkins, and Rod Harder. The members of my committee are going to indulge me and have agreed to stay 7 or 8 minutes beyond 10 o'clock. We got 5 new people that signed up on the 5th sheet, so if everybody can be as concise as possible, I may be able to get through everybody before about 7 or 8 after.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Al Elkins with the Oregon Hunters Association. We support the full funding of the ODF&W budget and keeping the officers, enforcement officers, whole as well. Thank you. That concludes my testimony.
Mr. Elkins, thank you very much for that.
That's efficiency, right?
Mr. Chair, for the record, I'm Ron Herder. I'm the Oregon consultant for the National Rifle Association, where many of you recognize me as the gun guy. I originally came here in 1981 working wildlife issues and have worked with this agency for all that time since. For many years, served on their external budget advisory committee, and as my colleague Terry Witt shared with you, this agency always wasn't easy to get along with. Over the last 5 or 6 years, starting with Lindsey Ball, I think the agency's done a complete turnaround. They're now cooperative. They smile at you when you walk into their offices. It really is a pleasure to work with them nowadays, and I commend them for that. One of my pet projects over the years has been to keep the Oregon State Police game detail whole and keep them up to speed, and that has not always happened. We funded those officers a number of times with fee increases, and we don't want to see them slide back. For instance, there was a case here in one of the coast towns where people caught over 600 crabs. 4 people had over 600 crabs, and when we get our game detail lowered to the point that they have been, people thumb their nose at them. So we want to keep them whole. A couple of things very quickly in closing. I would urge you to pass the budget the way it is submitted. But some of the programs that they're involved in right now, the BOW program, which is being an outdoors being an outdoors woman, the Hunter Education Program for young people, they're involved with shooting ranges, the Access and Habitat Program, which has been huge for hunters, and hopefully after this morning's vote, they'll be involved in the Youth Mentor Program. And so for the House members, that's a plug. Thank you very much. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you.
Chair Devlin, committee members, my name is Tom Wolf. I'm the chair of the Oregon Council of Trout Unlimited. I represent the 3,500 members of Trout Unlimited here in the state of Oregon. We're part of the 165,000 members of Trout Unlimited, which is the largest cold water conservation group in the United States. We are composed almost entirely of anglers, so I come here today to turn in testimony, so I will not share everything that I've already handed to you, but I just want to make one brief point, two brief points. One is we support the full funding of ODFW budget. We are specifically concerned about positions that are such as monitoring, working on wild fish populations, whereas we understand the concerns people have about funding for state police and for hatcheries. We don't want these positions that monitor wild fish populations that work with restoring wild fish to be unfunded. So I ask, representing many anglers who are concerned about catching wild salmon and trout, that these positions be funded. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. We'll now go on to Wayne Endicott, Hiram Lee, and David Moskowitz. And then our final panel that will be up after that will be Jim Welsh, Arno Housing, and Bob Reeves. If you could please limit yourself to 1 to 2 minutes each.
Sure. Chair Devlin, members of committee. My name is Wayne Endicott. For the record, I have an archery shop in Springfield, Oregon. I'm vice president of Oregon Bow Hunters. I represent the growing number of archery hunters in Oregon. We are the group of hunters that, you know, is growing in popularity very rapidly. Have worked very closely with ODFW on many issues over the last 5 years facing bow hunters. The staff has been wonderful with us. They've worked with us on many issues like, you know, fire danger during archery seasons, limited archery hunters in certain areas. We have wonderful dream hunts in the state of Oregon, and under the new leadership of Director Moore, I'm very encouraged with ODFW. It's been a wonderful staff to work with over the years, and hope to keep that up. We, as Oregon bow hunters, support full funding of their budget. Thank you.
Okay, my name is Hiram Lee. I've been an academic in fisheries and wildlife since 1972, first at the University of California, Davis, and I've been at Oregon State as a professor since 1979. Much of my statements are here. What I'm going to tell you is this, that you have no finer group on the North American continent than the Oregon Department of Fisheries and Wildlife. This was recognized by the internationals in 1991, I believe. We're not quite so good anymore because they've been starved out. And so what has happened is this group that was so innovative in their management tactics and strategies, you know, things like the wild fish policy, lots of very good things, a lot of people left. So New Zealand, Australia, where they're moved into those agencies and others. The best available science. When I came up here, I was totally stunned. You know, Davis is pretty snooty, and we consider ourselves really good. I wanted to come to Oregon because I knew that this ODFMW had guys that were as good as faculty members. As a matter of fact, they served as faculty members with us. They are highly ethical. I think that there are some things now that have happened. Virgin Moore, when my colleagues up north in Idaho and Washington, they went smoking. You guys got a good one. All right, that's good. We also have another internationally recognized scientist of the Oregon Hatchery Research Center, Dr. David Noakes. Now, I love the terms that some people use, creative fiction. Out of controversy, we can design ways to resolve it and do it in a civil manner. In the future, with things like increasing numbers of exotic species coming in, listed species increasing, meadowlarks. When I came up here, I used to hear meadowlarks every morning. I don't anymore. It bothers me. I'm an Oregonian. Although I served in California, I was a little kid in the Albina district before it became the Albina district. It was just countryside. All right. Fund them and fund them well. Let's bring back this great organization. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Lee.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is David Moskowitz, here today on behalf of the Wild Salmon Center and Water Watch. In 1991, actually 2 years in a row, the Department of Fish and Wildlife is recognized by their peers in the United States and internationally as the best fish and wildlife agency in the country. Measure 5 began the slow unraveling of that. We very much appreciate the governor's recommended budget. We appreciate the effort of the co-chairs and your committee to fund this agency at a better level. Down the hall, during this meeting, the May forecast came out, $180 million in the positive forecast. I'm sure that that money has been draining away as we sat here talking about this agency. And so, with all due haste, we recommend in the future. This is what I'd like to say, I guess, to just given a limited time. The agency is going to be asking for a fee increase soon, and they're asking it from their hunters and their fishers. And those people have stepped up time and time again. Meanwhile, what we're left to do is fight for these general fund crumbs to fund education. I have two children in public schools, and I support efforts to give them a great education. However, I want to make sure they have a great state to grow up in. So when we go out on the river, when we go out in the parks, we can enjoy Oregon's fish and wildlife bounty. The legislature has to come to grips with the strain away of general fund money for natural resource agencies, not just ODFW. It's very important. I know you heard this message from Tom Gallagher with the DEQ budget, and wholeheartedly support that. So let's go get some of this money. And two good places to put it. One is the wildlife conservation strategy that has been mentioned several times. The other is to fund a position that's advocated for in Senate Bill 680, which is developing a strategic plan for recreational angling. We support that as well. This agency is full of dedicated professionals, district biologists who work with volunteer groups on restoration and surveys. There's professional experts who work with their colleagues in the Water Resources Department, forestry. They work with the co-managers, the tribes, and the federal government. They spend many nights, weekends, much time off the clock doing this job. They're dedicated professionals. We applaud them and their work to do more with less every year. We would really like to see this committee and this body fund them at a level that really recognizes their professionalism and their dedication for Oregon's future. They have a dual mission to protect species and to provide recreational opportunity. It's a challenging mission because they don't control the environment the fish and the wildlife live in, except maybe for fish skinning. It's very difficult, and they get blamed for everything and rarely get applauded for success, but we'd like to fund them well. Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you. Mr. Welsh, Mr. Huffing, and Mr. Reeves. And I may be only able to keep my committee about 3 minutes more, so if you would please.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Otto Huesing. I'm the director of the Oregon Coastal Zone Management Association. It's a nonprofit that works for the cities, the counties, the ports, the soil and water conservation districts, and the Coquitlam tribes on the Oregon coast. We've been around for 30 years. I want to strongly support a full funding for the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. You've heard earlier today what a great job they do, how dedicated their staff are. We went through a tough transition, you know, when the PERS system was going through its transformation. Like many other state agencies, a number of very good people at ODF&W were concerned about their future retirement, so there was a brain drain from the department. Amazingly capable people left, but I'm very impressed the way they survived that transition. I want to thank the chair and others of the committee for restoring the hatchery funding. We've made such changes in our hatcheries in the last 10 or 15 years. They're just completely unrecognizable to what they've done. And the reason I know that is I've staffed a legislative task force on hatchery reform in the late 90s. We have made, again, it's not your father's Buick. It's not your father's hatcheries anymore. So a lot of the changes we've heard have been made. I want to support also the nearshore effort. There's so much to be done on marine reserves, wave energy, climate change. So when it comes to nearshore fisheries, please, full funding for the department helps us move forward to make additional conservation activities happen there. Again, I know time is very, very short, and I want to thank you again for your support of this budget. This really is about Oregon's transition as we continue to urbanize in the state. Got to have a functional ODF&W to make sure that we don't lose what's so critical to our heritage. And thank you again for all the hard work that you do.
Thank you very much. Mr. Welsh.
Chair Devlin, committee members, I'm Jim Welsh, representing Oregon Cattlemen Association, Oregon State and Range. And we, all the things that you've heard have been very positive about the department today. We just want to mention one that is just stands out incredibly, and certainly you heard from Terry Witt on this issue, but this agency has been extremely responsive whenever we had a concern or a question, and increasingly so. And we really, really appreciate that. We work with them, and they work with our producers at the local level. And we want to focus on one thing that I handed you out. You got this when I talked to you about the Oregon Department of Agriculture budget also, and that's the Wildlife Services funding. We are requesting that ODF&W contribute $360,000, which is for the 07-09 biennium, which is a $150,000 increase. And of course, the ODA portion of that was $720,000, which was an increase of $288,000. And we hope that the $180 million increase that you heard about this morning will be helpful. We certainly hope that you will think about increasing wildlife services, which really helps our producers at the local level. It's something very necessary that brings the state, the feds, and the counties together when we have problems with predation and our animals. Okay? Thank you very much. Appreciate this.
Good morning. Bob Reese, Northwest Guides and Anglers Association President, member of the STEP Advisory Committee, former employee of ODF&W, and I appreciate your time this morning. I know you guys are all running late. Briefly, Will, we are here in full support of ODF&W budget to fund them fully. All the programs that are intact within ODF&W budget is very critical to us. I'm from Tillamook, Oregon. The threat of our hatcheries closing was very significant, and we're glad to hear that that's not such a threat anymore. I'll just wrap up by saying Senate Bill 680 is also very important to us and what we do as professional fishing guides and in the sport fishing industry, and again, just in full support of a full budget for ODF&W. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for being here this morning. We will be finishing up on this budget tomorrow in terms of our public hearing process. Today will be the end of public testimony. The agency will be back before the committee tomorrow, and then hopefully back in a few weeks for a work session. With that, I'll close the public hearing on 5513 and adjourn the committee.
Well done.